Hello and welcome in the next of our series of basic instructional steps towards becoming a policy debater. I hope your experience so far is going well, and we've spent a lot of time talking about negative arguments and what happens on the negative. And what we're going to talk about in this edition is advanced affirmative debating, how to debate on the affirmative. We talked previously about how to select an affirmative case, how to structure and build an affirmative case. And today I want to talk about how to prepare to defend your affirmative case and how to carry that defense out in the debate. I'm Alfred C. Snyder. I'm the Edwin W. Lawrence Professor of Forensics at the University of Vermont. You probably already know that by now. And I'm here in the Edwin W. Lawrence Room at the University of Vermont, full of trophies and awards from the last 100 years of Vermont debate. And I've spent a lot of time in my career emphasizing the affirmative for students, because the affirmative is a side that you can control. You can dictate what the agenda is going to be and how things are going to be argued. Let's talk about how to prepare to debate on the affirmative. After you have created your affirmative case and you've put evidence together and you have a lot of information to support your case, it's time to create the arguments that you'll need to use during the debate. These are basically called front lines. Front lines. What that means is when someone initially argues something against you, you go to your front line, and that's your first line of defense. These are the first level of answers that you develop in the debate. They're basically for the use of the second affirmative constructive. The first negative lays out their arguments. After the 1NC has done that, then the 2AC, if you have prepared answers, preparation is so much easier. Front lines allow you to be completely prepared. What you're going to do is you're going to anticipate what the negative's arguments are, or you'll know what the negative's arguments are as the season goes on, and you create briefs to answer those arguments. Now, they're not just pieces of evidence and taglines. They're also arguments, analytical arguments, and as well, they are evidence. But there's something that you develop in advance to answer a specific argument, and you can even number them. Generally, you put your best arguments or your best piece of evidence first, although sometimes you want to hide a really good answer or maybe a really good turn somewhere near the bottom. Not too far down to the bottom, though, because you want to make sure to get there. If there are any negative topicality arguments that you hear, prepare a front line, so that you'll have something to read whenever they make that argument. Any disadvantages that you hear, prepare a front line. If there's a you should have a front line on the basic disadvantages that you hear all the time, the most common arguments that are run, any arguments that are run. Counterplans, the most common counterplan. You want to develop front lines against that. The critiques that you have heard or that you know of, you want to develop front lines to that. So basically, you try to anticipate all the arguments that the other team might make or does make as the season goes along, and you develop front lines to answer that. Don't be afraid always to use both analytical and evidenced arguments in your front lines. It will really help you put pressure on the negative team. I think you also want to be carrying some other things along with your front lines. You want to have some background data on your affirmative case. For example, any information about where the plan has ever been done before, the specifics about any studies that you're using in your plan. Maybe you want to carry the articles that your original solvency evidence comes from. You want to have information about the authors that you quote and who they are so you can defend them. You probably also want to bring along a couple of copies of the first affirmative speech. Don't just have one, have several copies of the first affirmative speech. You might also want to have a developed story about how much your plan costs or any other issues that are difficult to answer. And basically, you want to have as many things prepared as possible. When you have front lines and prepared arguments, you might want to look at them and see if you can say all of these things at the same time. Are there any arguments that you're making that contradict each other? For example, your fifth answer on some disadvantage might contradict some argument that you're making in response to a solvency press. And if so, you want to make sure that you don't read those in the same debate, or you should find a way that they can work together. You have an opportunity to look at all your arguments and see if they are consistent. All right, now you have front lines, you have briefs and backup evidence, you have information on authors, studies, topicality definitions, all of this stuff that you've organized for the second affirmative constructive. And I think you might want to create an index, number the pages, or else you can create an expando, one of those expandable accordion files, and you can file things behind different letters, and you can take an index of each letter. A is where you have your inherency extensions, B is where you have your harm extensions, and you know, Q is where you have your answers to federalism, and you create a file that's very easy for you to pull things in and out of during the debate. Now, you don't have front lines to everything they're going to say. That's fine. Don't worry about it. If you have as many front lines as you can, then when they do come up with a new argument, you have prep time where you can sit there and think of answers and come up with answers, because you have prepared for the normal arguments that you can expect. Don't be afraid to keep some of the handouts that are in the instructional packet that your coach has, and use some of those. For example, a list of potential arguments to a disadvantage. I think you want to have those so you'll be able to look at a list of possible arguments so you can think of some. A list of possible arguments to make against counterplans and critiques that you can either find on our website or in the instructional packet, and that will help you a lot. Let's talk now about the last three affirmative speeches in the debate, and let's start by talking about the second affirmative constructive. We used to say that the first affirmative rebuttal was a tough speech. Well, it turns out in modern debate, the first affirmative rebuttal is not so tough as long as the second affirmative constructive is good. It's the second affirmative constructive, generally, which sets the tone for the affirmative in the debate. And there's four things I want to keep in mind about the second affirmative constructive. The first is you need to make sure to answer all of the negative off-case arguments. If they have four off-case arguments, a topicality argument, a counterplan, and two disadvantages, you need to make sure that you have some answers to each one. You must answer each of the negatives off-case arguments or you will lose. And it's a little early in the debate to be doing that. Second thing, make sure to cover and extend and explain your affirmative case. If they have attacked your affirmative case, you need to answer those. You need to defend it. Unless you defend it, it's going to be long gone, and you're not going to win the debate. So if they attack your affirmative case, make sure to cover it, to defend it, and to make sure that it's still whole. Third, last chance to read impact evidence. Last chance to read impact evidence. If there's impact evidence you want to read on your affirmative case, if you think there's some evidence you want to read to establish that your case has a huge advantage or the implications of that advantage are really impressive, you want to read it then. You're not going to have time to read it in rebuttals. Read it in second affirmative constructive. Fourth, when you're affirmative in 2AC, think offense. Don't just think defense. Too often, second affirmative speakers will just think defense. Oh, the negative's attacking me. No, 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 I'm fending them off. No, your argument's not correct. No, I don't agree with your argument. That's fine. You want to be defensive, but you also need to think offense. You need to think of how you can turn the arguments that your opponents are making, how you can capture their critique, how you can put disadvantages on their counterplan, and how you can turn their disadvantage. That's how you act offensively. Affirmatives that don't generate enough offense in the 2AC generally lose the debate. Don't just depend on your affirmative case for offense in the debate. Make offensive arguments against the negative as well. Capture and turn their critique, turn their disadvantage, and give disadvantages to their counterplan. Well, let's talk more specifically about how to do that in the second affirmative constructive. Let's first talk about the off-case arguments. And I think that in answering the negative's off-case arguments, you need to really avoid the temptation to explain their arguments over again. If they have a disadvantage that says, so-and-so will be unhappy about the plan, and blah-de-blah, they'll do this bad thing, and yada-yada, this will lead to some terrible impact, you don't need to explain that over to the judge. You don't necessarily want to waste time explaining their argument. Don't. Instead, use all your time to answer their arguments. For example, this disadvantage where they say that people will be unhappy with the plan and something bad will happen, let's say they called it backlash. The way you should answer it is like this. Turn to their first disadvantage called backlash. My answers are, number one, da-da-da-da. Number two, da-da-da-da. Number three, give an answer. Number four, another answer. Number five, another answer. This way, all you're doing is spending your time answering their arguments. And if you have eight reasons why their disadvantage is untrue, they have to answer all eight of those reasons. Numbering your arguments is very important, because if you number your arguments, the judge will make sure to have them all down. It's easy for your partner to extend those arguments later in the debate. Extend my partner's fourth answer, that everyone loves the plan, that it will make people happier than they are now. It's very easy to do that, but you need to number your arguments. Numbering your arguments in second or third constructive is essential. And all of these things, when you answer the negative off-case arguments, you want to make sure that you have a diversity of answers. You don't just say 10 reasons why the disadvantage has no impact. You don't just want to give 6 reasons why the disadvantage doesn't link. Make sure you have many ways to test the disadvantage. Argue that it has no link, that it has no impact, that you turn it, that there's a missing internal link, that something else will happen that will make the disadvantage irrelevant. Let's all have a diversity of responses. Let's talk about disadvantages then. You want to make sure that you give a variety of answers. You want to have at least 5 or 6 answers for each disadvantage. And you want to make sure to number them, as I said. You want to make sure that you're running takeouts. Takeouts are arguments that just say the disadvantage isn't going to happen. No link, no brink, no impact, not unique. You've seen all those, we've talked about them, and they're concepts you can use against almost any disadvantage. Of course, you have to specifically make the argument. You can't just go, number one, no link. Number two, no link. No, you have to go, number one, no link, and then explain why your plan doesn't cause this to happen. So you want to have takeouts against the disadvantage. Second, you want to have turns on the disadvantage. You want to have link turns, or you want to have impact turns. Not both, that's a double turn. It's good to have turns. They're offensive arguments, but you want to make sure to either turn the link or the impact. Third, you want to make sure you have a mixture of asserted and evidenced responses to every disadvantage. Don't just read cards. Make analytical responses about why there's no link, and also read another argument that has a piece of evidence that says there's no link. Against the negative counterplans, make sure that first you explore the issue of competition, why it's not necessary to choose between the affirmative and the counterplan. Make the argument that there's a way for us to have both the counterplan and the affirmative plan at the same time. You suggest a permutation. And if you win the issue of competitiveness through other ways and through using a permutation, then you have defeated the counterplan. Second, you can attack the solvency of the counterplan, that the counterplan will not work. It will not solve the problem. And if it won't solve the problem, then it's not as good as the affirmative plan, which hopefully does. Third, you can argue that there is a disadvantage to the counterplan. If we adopted the counterplan, some bad thing could happen. Just as the negative can have disadvantages against your plan, you can have disadvantages against their counter plan. Well, negative will also make topicality arguments. With topicality arguments, they're saying your plan is not an example of the resolution. Here's a specific word or phrase in the resolution, and you don't meet it. It's very important for you to have prepared topicality responses before the debate starts. Your front lines should include defenses of every important word in the resolution and why your plan meets it. You want to make sure to have a definition of every word in the resolution that you think you can meet, and that should be part of your front lines. When answering a topicality argument, remember that you have several different ways of answering it. First, you could say, well, here's our definition of the word in question, and we meet our definition. Okay, that's the first way. Second, you can say, look at their definition of the word, why we meet that definition as well. Third, you can say, look at their definition of the word. It's a terrible definition. We shouldn't use that definition for a reason, yada, yada, insert argument here. And then you've defeated their topicality argument. Fourth, make sure that you don't let them have unreasonable standards or ways in which the topicality argument is decided. You know the negative team will construe the decision rule here in their favor. They'll say, if there's any doubt about this at all, you have to vote negative. Make sure to watch out for arguments where they set up standards that make it tough for you to win. Make sure that you answer each and every topicality violation. Find out in cross-examination how many topicality violations they have and what words they're in, because if you don't answer it properly in the second affirmative constructive, you will have lost the debate. And as I said before, it's a little early for that in the 2AC. What should you do about critiques that the negative team introduces? The negative team may introduce a critique, and in that critique, they're saying that the assumptions or the framework that the affirmative, or the language that the affirmative uses, is evil, incorrect, or both, and thus they should lose. You want to make sure to address the critiques on a multitude of levels. You don't just want to say, oh, I don't think critiques are valid, so you shouldn't consider it. You don't just want to say the idea or intellectual perspective represented by the critique is invalid or evil. You want to make sure to do a bunch of different things. If you're concerned about how to answer critiques in second affirmative constructive, here's some basic tips. First, you can argue that there's no link. Our plan doesn't violate whatever concept it is you're talking about. Second, you can say, so what? What's the impact of the critique? What does it really mean in concrete terms? Critiques often say that A is better than B, but they're very rarely comparing A, the critique, with B, the affirmative plan. And so you need to make sure that the judge knows, so what is the bad thing that happens if you adopt the affirmative plan and this critique is true? Third, you can try to permute the critique. And by this, you could say that there's no reason that you couldn't have the affirmative plan and pursue the philosophical or social objectives represented by the critique at the same time. There's no reason why you couldn't adopt the affirmative plan and at the same time do many things which would allow the critique to be accepted and to solve the problem that the critique tries to represent. Fourth, you can try to turn the critique. You can try to turn the critique. This is where you say, we have a plan, and when you adopt our plan, it represents progress towards whatever goal it is the critique represents, or towards whatever philosophical orientation the critique represents. If the critique is, for example, a feminist critique of policy, some kind of policy, foreign policy, educational policy, whatever, you can argue with, and it's really good to have evidence on this, and very powerful weapon against critique, to read evidence that says, no, a feminist perspective on X is forwarded by the affirmative plan. The affirmative plan represents an adoption of the feminist perspective. And if you do that, then you show that we take action that forwards the goal of the critique, so you would want to vote for us. Five, you can argue that the negative in their critique offers no alternative. What's their alternative? What do they say we should do? Nothing? If so, then they represent the status quo. Make them come up with an alternative. If they do have an alternative, attack their alternative as being bad. And if their alternative is bad, then that represents another way to turn the critique. Sixth, I think you can argue that it's not appropriate for a policy debate to consider these philosophical issues. That's not accepted by all judges, but it is accepted by some. Finally, in second affirmative constructive, you want to make sure that you're defending your case. You need to make sure that each of the stock issues is well in hand and the negative is not doing too much damage. You need to make sure you have inherency, sure you have significance, and sure you have solvency. Solvency is generally the major one they will attack. Make sure that you defend that. As well, if they drop or do not engage any of the impacts of your case, then you want to extend and emphasize those in the 2AC. Let's now talk about the first affirmative rebuttal. The purpose of the first affirmative rebuttal is simple. Don't lose the debate. And the way you do that is you need to make sure that you engage each of the major issues in the debate. Make sure that you are saying something about each of the disadvantages, something about any critique, something about a topicality argument, something about, if there are six major issues in the debate, the affirmative case, two disadvantages, a topicality argument, a critique, and a counterplan, you need to make sure that you say something about each of those six issues. Now, it's very important to remember that your partner in 2AC gave a bunch of answers to all these, and we've just gone through them. Use those, and use those by number. If your partner had seven answers to a disadvantage, don't try to extend all seven of them. Pick the best two that your partner has and use those. You only need to win one or two arguments against each of these off-case issues in order to defeat it. Target the ones you want. Make sure your partner numbers the 2AC responses, and then you'll be able to do that. You can say, extend my partner's fourth answer here and the piece of evidence they read on yada yada, which proves that, and that will help you a lot. Here's some tips for the 1AR. Use word economy. Use word economy. Don't explain things over and over again. Get on with it. Second, refer to evidence that's already been used. You might not have time to read a lot of new evidence, so refer to evidence that's already been used. Third, be organized. Use numbers. Extend specific arguments that your partner used in 2AC. Four, take the issues in order. Do topicality first, then do each one in order. Don't jump around between them. Do all the arguments on disadvantage number one that you want, then all the arguments on disadvantage number two. Five, time allocation. Watch your time. Think of, where do I want to be when half my speech is up? Where do I want to be when I have 1 minute left? Because you can't wait until you only have 30 seconds left to realize you have four major issues to cover and you're not going to be able to do it. You need to realize after about 2 minutes of your speech that you're falling behind so that you can try and catch up. First, affirmative rebuttal. The secret is, don't explain things too much. Use your partner's responses specifically, and don't try to use all of your partner's 2AC responses. Pick the best ones and just focus on those. Let's talk now about the second affirmative rebuttal, the conclusion of the debate. It's the last speech in the debate. Take advantage of it. Nobody will give another rebuttal after this one, so whatever you say, the negative will never be able to disprove it. Now remember, you can't bring up new arguments or new issues in the 2AR, in the last rebuttal. It doesn't happen. Judges don't like it. They won't let you get away with it. But remember that your story will be the last one heard. Basic strategy here is to try to make sure that you minimize the impact of each of the negative arguments. Whichever ones they've still got going, you want to minimize them. Make sure that you're still extending specific arguments, that you started in the 2AC, that you're answering on each of the disadvantages, on each of the major negative off-case arguments. So you want to minimize what they have on their side. And make sure that you're saying something substantive about every major issue that they've introduced, and you're extending specific arguments that started in the 2AC. On the other hand, you want to finish building up your case. Make your case as strong as possible so that you know that you have shown inherency, you've shown there's a problem, and you've shown solvency. Don't worry about having to solve all of the harm you identified. If you solve half of the harm you identify, or a third of the harm you identify, that's enough. Make sure that you have concrete impact on your affirmative case. Then, after you've minimized the negative and maximized the affirmative, you need to weigh the issues in the debate and explain to the judge how the affirmative case is more certain, is more important than the negative's arguments, and so the judge should weigh the impacts and decide for you. Here are some basic tips for the second affirmative rebuttal to keep in mind. First, extend. Use arguments that you've already used in the debate. Don't just repeat or summarize. Explain why these arguments are important and how they're operating. Second, pick between the arguments that the 1AR has used and emphasize those that seem to be best. Remember, you may have started with 7 answers to the disadvantage, and by the 2AR, maybe you're only extending 2 of them, but you're extending 2 really good ones that they haven't answered effectively. Third, sequence. Sequence your arguments properly. Start with the topicality argument if one still exists. Go through the negative arguments, finish on the affirmative case, and then you'll be in a position to weigh. But do all of theirs, then yours, then weigh the two. Four, retell your story. Every affirmative case has a story behind it, about security in schools, about malnutrition in majority world countries, about racism that exists in the military. Whatever it is, there's a story. Keep telling your story. It has intellectual power that the judge will feel. Five, allocate time properly. Look and see how the 2NR allocates time and use that as a guideline for letting you know what you should do. Sixth and finally, wrap up the debate. Weigh the issues for the judge. Make sure to save time for the end of your speech to be able to weigh the costs and benefits. And then once you do that effectively, and if you do that in a way that seems cogent and in a way which matches up the specific line-by-line arguments that have existed in the debate, then you're able to win the debate. You never win the debate 100-0. And it doesn't say on the ballot that it was a big win or a little win. All it says is that it was a win and a loss. You don't have to show that your affirmative case is perfect. You have to show that your affirmative case is better than the negative alternative based on the arguments in the debate. And if it's a little bit better, then it's good enough to vote for, and it's good enough to get the win. The affirmative is the best side of the topic to be on. You're in control, you're prepared, you get to dictate the agenda. Use it, enjoy it, use it, and you know, have an affirmative case that you believe in, that you really feel like an advocate for, and you'll be able to do a better job. Well, that's affirmative debating. Thanks a lot for being with me for another edition. Keep on debating. You should be debating by now and having lots of fun doing it. And sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's challenging, but don't give up.